Welcome to the SBK Crypto Podcast. 15 minutes of crypto fame.
My name's Charles Story. I'll be your host the next 15 minutes. We're coming live from the city of London, Shoreditch. So let's get down to business. In the week build up to the London Hackathon, which will be taking place this weekend at the Science Museum in West London, we've decided to basically dedicate the show to having all elements of the EOS community live and active on the show, whether that's projects, whether that's EOS holders. We just want to hear from the whole community, their view, their take, what's happening thus far on the EOS IO journey, where we have come from, what everyone's most excited about. So listen, let's get down to business and let's kick it off with our first guest. There's a famous saying, I don't know who created the saying, it was to think globally, you have to act locally. And with that in mind, we have Oliver Mayer, who's going to be the first guest we have on the show in this dedicated series, this build up to the EOS London Hackathon. Oliver Mayer, for those who don't know, is one of our in-house blockchain analysts here at SVK Crypto. He has a wealth of knowledge on the EOS IO protocol. So I thought, who better to start the series off? So Oliver, how's it going?
I'm good, thank you, Charles. Excited to be on the show. Looking forward to this week of all things EOS.
Awesome. So for the listeners that don't know, can you give us a quick background to the EOS IO protocol, the origins, and maybe kind of build us up to where we are now?
EOS IO has been created to support the next generation of decentralized applications. It is a smart contract platform that was innovated and developed by Dan Larimer. Dan Larimer has created BitShares and Steemit in the past, two of the most actively used blockchains in the ecosystem. The EOS IO mainnet launched on June 14th, 2018, and is the most exciting smart contract platform and blockchain project that I've come across. The three key areas where EOS IO excels is the fact that it's fast, meaning it's scalable, it's free, meaning that all transactions are free, and it's flexible, meaning it can be developed with a variety of programming languages.
To kind of give a bit of background, so how is it free? Can you bring the listeners up to speed on that department?
Absolutely. So the way that EOS IO creates free transactions in the network is that instead of paying a network fee, or the users paying a network fee for every transaction, EOS IO inflates the token supply by up to 5% every year. Currently programmed in, 1% of that 5% goes to block producers. And that is how block producers are paid for their work securing the network. So in a sense, yes, the token holders are getting a slight dilution, but the value that those block producers bring to the table just is a lot more than that dilution on a yearly basis.
In regards to kind of block producers, and if you're not familiar with the EOS IO protocol, you're probably not familiar with the term block producers. You're more familiar with the term miners. So why did EOS in particular focus on block producers? How does that work? How do people become a block producer? Can you give us a bit of background to that?
Yeah. So block producers are slightly different to miners. So in EOS IO, you have to be voted in. You can't just set up a network and start producing blocks for the mainnet. So once you've set yourself up, you then have to accrue a certain number of votes. Once you have enough votes to be in the top 21, then you are now a producing block producer on the EOS network. However, having said that, there are hundreds of alternative block producers who all get paid based on their votes. So it's very simple. If you're in the top 21, you get paid for the number of votes that you have, as well as the blocks that you produce. If you're outside the top 21, you'll only get paid on your votes. And it's interesting because in proof of work, the miners are all competing to find the next block, whereas in delegated proof of stake, the block producers all work together. So it's actually a lot more lucrative to be a block producer if you can become one having got over the 21 vote limit.
And I mean, that's really key what you just brought up there. The 21 block producers voted for and by the community. And that's something that we're going to touch on in a second. But the other key point that you mentioned was scalability. And as we all know in the cryptosphere, scalability within other protocols out there, such as Ethereum, has been a massive issue and arguably something that's held back a lot of innovation of great projects due to the fact they're not able to scale. Now, as you mentioned, this is one of the three things EOS really wanted to kind of double down on. And where are they currently at with that?
So EOS.io has currently hit a maximum TPS, which is transactions per second, of 4,000, which is several magnitudes higher than what Ethereum's max has ever been. Now, that's on a single-threaded architecture, which is just the first V1 release of EOS.io. We plan to now multi-thread that and also to introduce sidechains, which is another word for sharding. And with all that being said, I think we're going to see a massive amount of increase in transactions as the network matures. So I'm really excited about that. And it's probably good to touch on why EOS.io is so much faster, because it all comes down to its consensus mechanism. So in delegated proof of stake, there's 21 block producers. What that means is that 21 block producers have to all agree upon the next set of transactions, right? In Ethereum, you have thousands and thousands of miners that all have to agree on a transaction, and that's why it can take a long time. So what usually happens in the back end is that each block producer will produce a set of 6 blocks, and then it will move on to the next block producer, and it will go around the 21 like that. And that is what's known as pipelined delegated proof of stake, and it's a lot faster.
And just to kind of pick up on a point you mentioned there, so EOS is currently doing 4,000 transactions per second, TPS. And by the way, that's not at its like full capacity. That's still building, that's still scaling. It's you know, infinite number that it can actually scale to. But just to put that in proportion, at this current point in time, Bitcoin's doing 3 transactions per second. Ethereum's doing around 15. So EOS are really leading the way in this. And it's interesting to see, you know, what this really means for projects. And I think it'll be interesting to get your take on that. What does this mean for a project who's looking to build out? What does this mean that EOS can do 4,000 transactions? How will this benefit projects? And how will this make people's lives different?
So this is something that we're really, really excited about, right? So in order to enable mass market applications, you have to have several factors in place, right? So the first one is that you need to be able to handle a large amount of order flow simultaneously. And that's why it's so important to have a large TPS. So 4,000 transactions per second is a phenomenal start for any blockchain. And the fact that we can now scale that to, I believe, over hundreds of thousands of transactions per second enables anybody who's looking to create a mass market application, they can build it on EOS. The next part that's also included in that fast feature is the fact that EOS has half second block times, so 500 millisecond block times, which means that when you're interacting with an application on EOS, it feels so responsive. It feels almost like a centralized application, because you'll click a button, have a call to action on the network, and the network will respond in 500 milliseconds and ping you back, and you'll have you'll have a response on the network. The third component of that is, if you want to build a lot of applications out there, they're very popular now, it's becoming free. So it's freemium, right? It's free to use. So if you want to build a free to use application, such as a messaging application or a social media platform, then you need to have those transactions be free to the user. And that's another thing that EOS.io has. So it has those three main features that I believe all apps are looking for as on a decentralized platform.
And I think it's key when you talk about scalability that you really look to the future. And you can talk about scalability a lot of projects now, and it's very important that they have the ability to scale. But if you look into the future, what we could potentially bring and innovate within this space, and what we can bring to the table regards to future projects, how important that would be, not only to have free transactions, but also to be able to scale. You know, the future will potentially be something like a decentralized social media network, right? And if you were to build that, let's say, on the Ethereum protocol, you'd have to pay to like an image, you'd have to pay to comment. And that itself has a lot of flaws. And I think for innovation, you can't have holdbacks like scalability. And I don't think, you know, paying with tokens is another thing that's really kind of clawing back at the accessibility to adoption as well. And I think EOS has done a really great job in being able to build within complex systems with the ease of being able to program and create within the EOS IO protocol in WebAssembly, Python, C++, and making that much more accessible to the end user as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, here's something that we see very often is that projects are so used to building on Ethereum that they feel like they need to have a token, right? So in order to interact with Ethereum, as Charles said, you need to pay fees. And that means you need to have a wallet. You need to have Ethereum in that wallet so that you can actually interact with these applications. What I'm so excited about is the prospect of building decentralized applications that are totally frictionless to the end user, which means that someone can log on to a decentralized app without having to have tokens in their wallet, without even having to know what a wallet is, and interact and gain the benefits of decentralization without needing to understand how a blockchain works. And you know, I'm really excited about what WebAssembly brings to the table as well, because as you might know, Ethereum are also looking to now move to WebAssembly, which is a huge indicator that it's definitely the right move and the way forward. And what WebAssembly allows you to do, as Charles said, is you can build out on C++, Python, Rust. You basically gain access to a huge number of developers who already know these languages, and now they have access to the ability to build on a decentralized platform such as EOS.io. An exciting announcement, actually, only recently, the block producers updated the code for EOS.io, which means that the WebAssembly compiler that EOS uses is now 25% quicker. And that means that we're going to be able to process even more transactions each block.
And talking about block producers, kind of going back to that point, I think when you look at EOS.io and you can really see it clearly ahead of all the other protocols out there, I think one of the abilities they had to do is because they could see the pitfalls in a lot of different protocols out there at this current point in time. And I think what's really challenging for a protocol at the minute is to basically move forward with general consensus. And let's say you have Ethereum and they can't, I think one of the issues they have at the minute and other protocols out there, but as a community, they can't come to general consensus on the best way to move forward. And I think EOS is really ahead because they could see these pitfalls and they basically built upon that. And the EOS community in particular, I think, is one of the most active. It's one of the most interesting groups out there. And I think people are really interested in not just kind of looking to see what's being built, but I think people are really excited to be building upon that as well. And that kind of links back into the block producer point, because you know, you have the block producers out there who are looking for votes, and they're doing really cool stuff for the community as well. Do you want to kind of touch on some of the things we've seen?
So there are many projects out there that aren't necessarily ROI positive in terms of investments from the outside world, right? So those that are typically like wallets and block explorers, absolutely essential to the development of any blockchain, but not necessarily ROI positive. And this is where we've seen the block producers step in and do an absolutely fantastic job. EOS Cafe with blocks.io, EOS Asia with My EOS Toolkit, they've all put together some really, really fantastic tools that allow the community to understand exactly what's going on with the block, with each block, and understand what's going on with the blockchain, so they see their own transactions. Now with Graymass, they have their EOS Voter wallet. I know that EOS Lynx and a few other wallets are out there, such as Nova, and I know there's a lot of block producer participation there as well. So the block producers have really done an amazing job of building these tools for the community to make everything a lot easier with nice user interfaces and user experiences. And obviously they're doing that with the view of getting more votes in, but that's how the whole ecosystem works, is that you have to be adding value to the community in order to get more votes.
And just kind of on that point there, it works really well because, as Oliver just mentioned, they're looking to get as much attention as possible, because the more people that know about them as a block producer, the more votes they can get, so they can kind of bump their numbers up. Let's say they're kind of in the 30s, right? And they're trying to get into that magical 21 block producer zone. But as Oliver just mentioned, it's really interesting because it really encourages innovation. And the projects that, let's say, are really fundamentally important but not that investable, let's say like a wallet,
type interface, something that works, something that people want to use, has a great user experience, accessibility is easy. You know, a lot of people aren't creating this because they're looking to create something that's going to have an investment type thing attached to it, right? They're looking to create an ROI positive situation. So it's really great because the blog producers are now investing not only time, but their own capital to create things that the community need. And I think it really has aligned interest with the overall community out there.
Absolutely. And what's even cooler is that EOS.io is one of the only platforms I know of that is self-funded, right? So with the 5% yearly inflation, there's 1% that goes to the blog producers, as we've mentioned, but the other 4% is currently unallocated. But the proposal that's currently out there is something called the worker proposal system. And what this is going to enable is it's going to enable the 4% fee to be delegated to projects that require funding, right? And the community is going to be able to vote on what projects they want to see backing from. And I think this is really, really key, because that way you're not now reliant on external investors to fund the development of the EOS.io protocol. Essentially, it can be funded and developed into perpetuity based on this worker proposal system, which is really, really cool, and it's a self-fulfilling platform from that point onwards.
So it's interesting, we're talking, you know, a lot about the EOS.io protocol itself, but let's talk about Block One, because Block One are the guys behind EOS.
Yep, so EOS was created by Block One. They launched it on June the 3rd of this year. And when I say they launched it, I mean they gave it to the community to launch. Though they didn't actually launch it themselves. They kept it as an open source project. But prior to this, they had a year-long ICO, which was the longest ICO in history, and also the first of its kind, and they raised, depending on your sources, around $5.1 billion.
So I just want to add in here, $1 billion of the $5 billion that was raised was used for venture partners all around the world. The first was Mike Novogratz's fund, Galaxy Digital. The second was Eric Schmidt's fund, Tomorrow BC. Eric Schmidt is the ex-CEO of Google. Thirdly, we had Michael Cao out in Asia with EOS Global. FinLab AG, which covers Germany in particular. And then you have yours truly, SVK Crypto, which is the fifth venture partner to be backed by Block One, operating here in London town. So I just wanted to add that in to give you a bit of background to where the $1 billion was allocated to. And the reason they did that is so Block One wasn't in charge of investing into EOS dApps. It was venture partners all around the world who had their different specialties and who had their edge within the space of finding new and innovative technologies building out onto the EOS.io protocol.
And one of the other things, one of the other advantages that comes with Block One having this war chest of capital is that you may have noticed on Ethereum, the developments on the underlying protocol take a very long time. And the reason isn't because they've got bad developers. It's more because that a lot of the developers are working for free. Some are working part time. And what that really stems from is if there's a lack of funding that is given to them by the Ethereum Foundation. With Block One, they are able to use this capital to really update the protocol very rapidly and to generate the changes that are needed to maintain their edge in this market. And that's one of the reasons why we're so excited about it, because obviously these applications are going to require different resources and different requirements as time goes on, and you need a developer in place or a development entity in place that can react quickly to those changes. And I think that's what one of the big factors Block One brings to the table.
I absolutely agree. So to kind of switch things up here a little bit, let's talk about account creation, something that I think a lot of people haven't fully understood as of yet. So it'd be great to kind of for you to shed some light on this and add some value to the listeners.
So in the beginning of the EOS.io protocol, RAM became very expensive very quickly. And this caused a big problem for people who are looking to create new accounts on the EOS network, because each EOS account requires a minimum amount of RAM to function, and so buying this RAM was very expensive. In the following months, what has happened is that the EOSIO protocol now produces additional RAM with every block. That's hard-coded into the platform. So currently, with every block that's produced, 1 kilobyte of RAM is added to the total network. What this does for the price in the long run is that it's already grown the RAM from 64 gigabytes to around 77 gigabytes, and that will continue to increase, putting a downward pressure on the price. This stops speculators from holding RAM, hoping to have a capital gain in the future, because the mechanics of the RAM market now push the price lower and lower over time. The other thing that Block One and EOS have implemented is they've now reduced the RAM requirements per account by 1,500 kilobytes. So you can actually create an account now for around 3 to 4 kilobytes of RAM, which has also reduced the cost greatly. Now, the other thing that we expect to have happened in the following week is that Block One have been working on an iOS wallet that will keep all of your keys encrypted on the Apple Enclave in your iPhone, which is a very secure chip that can't be accessed by any other applications. And they are promising to have free accounts for all users through that wallet, which is a huge help to the adoption of the EOS network. And so account creation has really solved a lot of these issues, and we're seeing a lot of new accounts now coming onto the EOS blockchain.
And just being kind of sensitive on time at the minute, just 2 points. What excites you most about the EOSIO protocol, and what dApps are exciting you most, and what's got your attention at the minute?
What excites me most about the EOSIO protocol is its ability to support the next generation of decentralized applications. In particular, I'm very interested and excited about the ability for users to interact with decentralized apps without having to require a token or without even knowing that they're interacting with the blockchain. I feel that this is so key to the next level of adoption, and it's something that EOS can absolutely facilitate. With regards to dApps, for a long time now, EOS Bet has had my attention, and for one reason only: it does more transactions on a daily basis than all Ethereum apps put together. And I think that's just a great example of the scalability that EOS has. In the future, I'm really excited about the ticketing industry. EOS Tix, Tixico are two projects building on EOS, and I think that they're going to revolutionize the ticketing industry, as well as the music industry, and supply chains are another one of my focuses.
So just to round things up, where do you see the future in the next 5 years?
So in the next 5 years, I see applications and organizations becoming more decentralized than they are today. I think the notion that you can go from a centralized setup straight into a decentralized setup is unrealistic, and that a lot of progress that we are seeing is very gradual. We're seeing traditional revenue generating businesses adding a blockchain component, which makes their businesses slightly more decentralized and adds value in certain areas of their business. I think that's the trend moving forwards, and in the next 5 years you can definitely see a lot more adoption in certain areas of business which blockchain can really add value to.
So the future is decentralized.
Indeed.
Woo! That's a wrap. Thank you so much for your time and attention. And sadly, we had to cut today's show off. But if you have any further questions, please feel free to join our Telegram, where myself, Oliver, and the rest of the team are very active, which is SVK Crowd. Hit us up on Twitter at SVK_crypto. And of course, if you're really on your game, feel free to email myself, cstory, C-S-T-O-R-R-Y, at svkcrypto.com. Thank you for your time and attention. That's a wrap.
Listening to an SVK Crypto Podcast original. Follow us on Twitter at SVK_crypto. Email us on cstory@svkcrypto.com. Leave us a message on our website www.svkcrypto.com.